Hi there. Welcome to the Dialogue on Digital Rights for Media Practitioners. My name is Roland Yagaba, and I am the founder of Mwado. Mwado is an African social network that is working to ensure that creatives on the platform earn from their content. I am also your host. This is a documentary-style podcast where we'll take a deep dive into the experiential divide between women and men in media while they're conducting their work online. You will hear views from 7 different Ugandans in the media industry on this topic. But due to the pandemic, the interviews were carried out by sending voice notes recorded using phones. So if some of the sound is not that good, please understand and forgive us. This podcast has been made possible with support from the Women at Web Project, which is under the Collaboration on International ICT Policy for East and Southern Africa, also known as CIPESA, or CIPESA, depending on how you pronounce it. Our other partner is Phoenix Reason, whose empathy workshop framework we have used for the interviews. So now I will let our participants introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Kanaram Gume, and I am an investigative journalist with NBS Television. I'm also a radio show host on Next Radio, political show called The Big Talk. I'm also a podcaster of two podcasts, one called The CoronaCast on coronaviruses and lessons we've learned, and The Election Podcast, one on politics. And that is about the 2021 general elections in Uganda.
My name is Caro Aliek Bayanga, and I am the managing editor for the digital section, digital content at the Monitor Publications Limited.
Hi, my name is Danze Edwin John, aka Dijan. I'm communications and media personality.
My name is Yvonne Injuna. I work with New Vision as a sub-editor. I have worked on TV, I have worked on radio. Now I'm working with print media.
My name is Emmanuel Sejengo. I'm the editor of The Kampala Sun. The Kampala Sun is an English language tabloid of New Vision.
My name is Sima Chakuhede Sabiti, and my background in the media has been quite varied. I have been a radio presenter. I have been a magazine editor. I've also worked in the marketing department of Uganda's biggest media house, as well as working in their online department.
My name is Eva Zanye, Ernest Bazanye. I'm a former journalist, currently everywhere, consultant, writer.
We are now in part 3 of the podcast, the final part. In this part, we will attempt to reframe the issues presented in the previous episodes. The point of the reframe is to reduce everything into a human need. If we can show that all these issues are human rather than based on sex and any other unchangeable factors, it allows people to better empathize. This is episode 9. All right. Welcome all of you to the podcast. Thank you for agreeing to participate in this. Let's dive straight into the questions. What is something surprising and unexpected you learned about the online experiences of the other sex? Something you hadn't thought about or found particularly interesting?
Wow, okay, so I found out that the other sex is usually paranoid online in terms of how they post content and how they comment. Usually because I think their past experiences or experiences from their friends in terms of how they've been mistreated online, taken about violence, how they're abused, sharing of their pictures without consent and all. So they become paranoid, and you can tell that through how they post or how they interact with you online. So the more they are aware that the more they are aware of distressing events, either from their past or from their friends' lives, or the more they become paranoid and the more they're about to feel as if not safe online at all. So you can tell that through really how they post. So yeah, it's something I learned recently about the other sex online.
I think one of the things that really got to me is the fact that the male gender, it consumes what you give them. And they set an agenda from that, just like the female gender. What you give them is what they consume, but also it will shape their conversation. So it really depends on how you disseminate your information, and it will determine the next line of the conversation.
Hi,
We're back. I hope I will be helpful. For question 22, about something that I learned, which I found surprising because it was unexpected, about online experiences with other sex, is picture use. I'd always thought it's not a big issue whose pictures you use on your social media pages, or which pictures they would want to put up. But I generally realize the ladies are more sensitive to their pictures. At some point they want their pictures where they look good, but also there are moments when they would complain of a picture which seems to suggest something which they probably are not, or something they are hiding. Say a picture that suggests that someone is indecently dressed, they would be more sensitive about that than men. I'd always taken that for granted. So for me, it has been, I still sometimes fail to even notice and post people's pictures, especially when they're in public, without even taking note of that.
I'm not sure how to tackle that question, but something I hadn't thought about or I found interesting, maybe the collectiveness that is, you know, this thing they call the guy code. Yeah, there's also that whole sisterhood thing that I find very interesting, and I would really encourage, especially when people come together for a common cause. It's usually highlighted in especially small businesses that are being pushed online. Look at Pesh Almoza and the way she's managed to push her brand and all those things on Twitter, with people encouraging herself, where that mini movement that she's doing, and the way the ladies came together to push that cause and eventually got the guys on board in a very non-sexual way, you get. They explored sexual liberties and everything else and being comfortable in their attires. And I think the message to those that so beyond the attire and understood self-expression, comfort, and etc. kind of got it. And that's something that I could probably highlight. Yeah.
I think for me, something surprising I found about other online experiences of the other sex is that sometimes they too can be, you know, abused. Sometimes they are abused. I think the tendency is for us to think most of the time that most of the time, all of the time, it is women who are abused over, you know, because it's a patriarchal society, there are so many male chauvinists out there and things like that. But I think I realize that, I've seen, and I know that men too can be abused for their sentiments, for their opinions, for their thoughts. They too can be, you know, given a hard time. Sounds strange. It doesn't sound strange, but it may sound like, oh, that's not possible. Yes, it's possible. And may not be, I think the thing is that maybe most men don't talk about it that much, or they will try and brush it off. Maybe don't try to deal with it, not call it out. But yeah, men too are abused online. They can be insulted and sometimes over the simplest of things. Sometimes just giving a generally, you know, fair opinion or thought about something. So I think I found that was interesting when I began to realize that, you know, actually also men can really be harassed online.
What is the role of the media in creating awareness on the gender dynamics, issues such as the representation of women online, tech-enabled violence against women through to access and use of technology? How can the media help?
So the media, we all know, is an agenda setter. like I was just saying, the media, whether it is traditional media or social media, it sets an agenda. Everything that we talk about in our daily lives is what we hear from radios, what we watch from TVs, and what we read from online. So maybe what the media can do is to make sure they do balanced reporting for maybe traditional mainstream media. They should do balanced reporting. If you are interviewing, people, make sure you have balanced voices. And then also they can, you know, try to put some awareness against stereotypes. Women must do this, women must behave in this way, and men cannot do this. Such things, they should, you know, the media can just focus on breaking the stereotypes so that we have just a balanced world.
The media need to start documenting, you know, cases of tech-enabled violence and throw light to these cases, because I think it's important when, you know, it's a whole complete story and the media is trying to shed light, like, with intention. It has to intentionally start. You have to show deliberate effort. I think it's the right word, deliberate effort. They have to find a way on how to shed light and not just like any other story, but put that extra effort and point out cases and show that this is wrong. I think the media, because it's a platform that many people subscribe to, they have a very, very sensitive position, and the more sensitive, the bigger the role that they do have.
The role of the media, as always, is to inform. Is to inform, inform, inform. Inform people and let them know the dynamics that exist. Inform them the consequences of you know, abuse or violence online. Inform them of what is a better way to do things. Inform them of why some of the things that are not right and why we speak out against, why people speak out against them. Inform them of the rights that people have. You know, create, allow for, you know, debate, allow for opinions. But at the end of the day, inform, 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 inform with, you know, correct information, with statistics, with good research, because sometimes when, if you come up and say, no, this is not right, you shouldn't be doing this, and you're just saying that, sometimes it's hard for people to understand why you're saying it. Someone has been brought up or has learned all along that this is fine to do, and they come and say, this is not fine, and they say, why? And they say, because it's not fine. After, you know, it's not fine, you just, you know, make sense to them. And, you know, but if you are going to, you need to do your homework, you need to go, you need to do research, you need to understand what has research said about this kind of issue, what are people's experience on this, what do people on both sides of the coin have to say about this, and what does that mean, can it make sense of what do the experts say on this issue. And then you have wholesome stories, you have well done stories that open people's eyes, that inform them, that show them things they didn't know, that create awareness about the issues, not just but even just, not just like in the public out there, but even in their personal and private life, so that they can understand and begin to see and say, okay, I didn't know that, I think I need to do better here, I never had that perspective, I think I need to understand. So for me, the role of the media is always to inform people, help them understand, help show them what this is like, show them the good, the bad of the different of the technology that exists, how they should use it for the good of people, and why certain things are not acceptable, and why they're not acceptable, not just because you feel they're acceptable, but you show why these things are not acceptable, and how they affect people's lives immensely, and how they affect society, and how they affect development. So for me, I believe that all is really to inform, and provide well researched information, and let people be able to understand and therefore make better decisions.
What is the role of the media in creating awareness of gender dynamics on issues such as representation of women online? I think that's just basically like what you said, the role of the media is to create awareness. There are many other roles than the traditional news media, which I think is what we talk about here. When we talk about entertainment or propaganda or opinion media or advocacy media, we're talking about news media, strictly news. I think that's what we're talking about, and their role. And I think that their role is just that, create awareness. Find out the journalist is the person who is within us in society, amongst the people. Where people want to know what's going on, what is happening, this person goes out, finds out, comes back and tells us. That's it. Doesn't tell us what we're supposed to think about it, what we're supposed to do about it, doesn't try to offer solutions, whatever. Their job is just to inform us. And I think that is the role of the media. Just if this stuff happens, report it and let the people know. I get skeptical when I see the commercial media because you know they're called brownie points, I think. On social media, they call them earning brownie. I think they call it earning brownie points, that you want to show how righteous and progressive you are. And I think that the commercial media does that. We'll tend to do that a lot and really try to show off how non-sexist they are by let me put it this way. I think that often you find that in a story which should simply be a human being does thing which a human being is supposed to do. If in the case where the human being is a woman, it will be reported as if that, wow, not only did this police officer solve the crime, but guess what? She's a woman. She's a woman too. Yeah, women can do it. You guys, women are great. Women are fantastic. Women, and it reaches a point where it's in trying to applaud the achievements of women, they end up being condescending. They end up acting as they end up presenting the case as if a person doing something, you know, people do, is unique, is made unique if that person is a woman, meaning that women are not supposed to be able to do this anyway. And so I think that the media does tend to fail at just simply creating awareness, and because it just falls over itself to and ends up being condescending and patronizing. And also, there's also this competition that often happens, especially amongst institutions which have traditionally been agents of oppression, when they try to show that they've changed their ways and they really, really do us protest too much. So you find that the media, which has the commercial media, that is newspapers which make their profit by selling information, and also by selling audiences to advertisers, and have thus, and just because of that model, they have compromised the integrity of that what was simply the original job of a journalist, which is just to get information and deliver information to the people. I find that the traditional media, it does fail at just doing this, because it really is trying so hard to look righteous. And it not only does it fail in creating awareness, but it also, I think, fails in creating, it fails in what it's trying to do, which is to simply make people know that you guys, women are human, women are people, stop thinking that they are not. Can you, let's get over the fact that if you put a woman in the army, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's going to be a worse or a better soldier than a guy because she's a woman. It doesn't really matter. It depends on the person. Anyway, that's what I think, that the traditional media is failing, because it isn't trying to inform, to just get information and give it to us. It's trying to teach us. It's trying to be. It's trying too much. It's trying to present an opinion. But you know, that's just how I always feel. I feel that commercial media just has failed in many, many ways.
The biggest role of media would be to create the stories to enable the conversation to happen in a fair and balanced manner. The other role is to showcase the scenarios whereby that tech violence has occurred, or whereby solutions to it have also occurred. The role of media would also be to trigger these discussions, either through investigative stories with Canary and others, whether through profile shows, whether through talk shows, another round, things like that, creating these scenarios of open discussion or awareness about this in the first place actually would be the most important dynamic. Also media would be to push some objectives of the policymakers or donors who are putting their money and efforts and time into stopping the vice of technological violence and bias towards, say, women on the internet. So those are some of the roles I can pick out. And also creating the personalities and stars or the hosts that have the knowledge and capability of talking about this dynamics.
Question 24. The media should play a very central role in creating awareness on the gender dynamics on online platforms, especially when it regards violence against women, any kind of violence, physical or psychological, because media still carries respect in many people's minds, so it is listened to, but also it disseminates information in a palatable manner. So media, one, should highlight the offenses against women deliberately. It should be a deliberate effort. You can set terms and say you ensure that every day or every 2 days, every 48 hours, you have a story about this issue, and you go out and look for those stories. That is the role it should play. However, it should be cautious while playing it and not turn all men to look like they are devils, all women to look like they are devils. You run that risk when there is an overkill of information. You don't want people to be going around and looking at everyone as a potential abuser. I think it happened at the beginning of 2020 with that movement where there was a reveal movement where people were revealing rapists, and all of a sudden you found yourself if you knew five of the people who have been revealed, you start moving around like everyone around is a potential rapist, and it looks abnormal that you're not. So there's a potential of overkill. So you should be cautious about it. And sometimes when there is too much information, people get desensitized about the issue. If you keep talking about it all the time and don't give breathing space, people get desensitized. It is like, I would say, in my experience, we have standards, which are moral standards, for the paper. The pictures you can publish and the pictures you can't publish. However, when we are in the field out there, we witness a lot of people dressed in a way that we can't use their pictures. Now, whenever you keep on going out there in the field to see these people, you get desensitized and you wouldn't realize after some time that that picture is bad. Same with journalists who, especially the ones who live along highways and near black spots for accidents, sometimes they get used to seeing people dying in accidents and blood, and they get typically desensitized, such that when you give him a tip about potential accident somewhere, he can probably suggest that it's not much, just 2 dead. I wanted 5 dead. Now that's getting desensitized, but that is because of overkill. So you can take a regular measure as media and always go back, do mini surveys, just ask people what they feel about your product on a certain issue. You will notice whether they are desensitized, whether they still need more information.
What ways have you seen the media failing at this role?
I think the media fails when they take sides. Sometimes the media takes sides. When they feel there's an issue that's out there, but they the editors or sections of the, management feel, editorial management feel, no, that can't be possible, or what was the person thinking anyway. When that happens, then they take sides and then they fail, because the media should not really take sides. I think the media should show what is the best option to do. Media should inform and therefore understand. So sometimes I think the media has failed by taking sides. Sometimes they fail by not interrogating certain narratives or interrogating certain perspectives. If a perspective has been there in society, and the media does not sort of think and say, but why is this this way? What has happened? Why do they go ahead and do this kind of thing? Is it, and how is it affecting people, and how can things be fixed? So sometimes the media has failed to interrogate, to do deeper, stories, to really do in-depth articles, investigative pieces, to help people understand the issues. A lot of the time, the media will do investigative pieces on political issues, on crime, on the economy, perhaps business. But there are many other issues that they don't do enough investigative reporting or enough, serializing or special reports on that really provide information. So I think that they also fail in that, not interrogating or looking at certain aspects and trying to help us understand or find out what the issues are. So when they're biased and they take sides, when they don't interrogate an issue well enough to people understand, sometimes the media does fail in that way.
I think that media has been escalating to enable violence, and it's not a good thing, especially in entertainment programs. There's sort of a trend and growth of entertainment programs where people or presenters actually laugh at some of these cases that happen online, and that in a way they're trying to pass on the message that this is okay and it's actually laughable, which shouldn't be the case. So media has failed in that regard.
In this role, the media has largely failed because it's really a reflection of its society. And the role of the media setting the agenda is reducing day by day because of, alternative media spaces like social media. So looks like society is more setting the agenda now than ever before. So it is, with that background, there's a reluctancy of starting campaigns, and then you can't show profits at the end of the month or the end of a period or financial year. Your readership is not growing, so how long are you going to provide that free service? Or do you need to grow your subscription? Do you need to grow your readership? Do you need to grow your distribution to a point where you can now safely give away some space for a campaign like that? So in an era where traditional media is becoming less profitable and more of a service to society, and yet stomachs have to be fed, usually the media dwindles back to and gets off the campaign and gives people more of what they want. Yeah, it will give them soccer, it will give them typical male views that may seem to sell. It is also, there are surveys that have established that there are more male buyers of newspapers than the women, an example. So really, it's a reflection of the society. That is why the role largely fails. And with not many people willing to pay for these campaigns, say the civil society, the government, not many are willing to pay for them to keep the business going. So you always dwindle. You do this, and then you have to get back to, no, let me get my buyers back. Then you go back to the old stories that sell the paper. So profitability and responsibility, that balance, media usually doesn't get it right.
I've seen them failing when it comes to who gets to talk about these things. For instance, sometimes I find it weird that, yes, it's okay for men to talk about issues of women. It's very okay, especially if it's someone coming from an informed and nurtured environment. It would make sense, especially if you're around these women, or if you are an offender at once, not like a sexual offender or anything, but if you're someone who used to troll and then you came to the realization of where your errors were, because you are now someone in the mix, it's very easy for you to disseminate this information. You get it? Secondly, I think they need to give more women the platform. I think more women, first of all, need to be more willing to come for these platforms. I've been in scenarios whereby a collective of women have, and I have insisted on inviting them for shows whereby they find misogyny, patriarchy, and all those things. You know how the vibe is, because I've been producing a show called Another One for about 3 years now. Two years and something months. And most times the conversations they found they're in disagreement with, I would invite them for a counter conversation the next week, and they would say, no, we can't come to that show, it's blacklisted. I would be like, so where's the solution now if you won't take the opportunity to solve a problem on the platform? But easy to get the scenarios like that. It happens a lot even in the political shows, the political talk shows, or other lifestyle shows on other networks, or even online podcasts. Look at Black No Sugar. Those scenarios whereby it was cancelled because of a collective. You get it? So I think that's why they fail. We fail ourselves as the end user, we fail ourselves as the affected other policymakers as well. So it becomes a joint failure, as if. Now, going back directly to media, where I've seen some fails is not talking about the scenarios enough, or not making it as serious. I would refer to it as also the depression conversation. People don't tend to talk about depression as much as they should, because one, the affected don't feel comfortable coming out to talk about it because of our, in quotes, I put my fingers up in quotes, our culture and traditions here in Uganda or Africa in general. Other failures in media, I would say, is not pursuing stories beyond just an expose or beyond just one of those topics you were going to have at a talk show. If an NGO doesn't come with a conversation, most probably the media fraternities may not indulge in those conversations until it affects maybe their own, until it affects the producers, someone, something like that. So those are some of the shortcomings that I see in media.
Have you ever been targeted by colleagues in a professional work group, even though you were sharing content that was consistent with the group's objectives?
Yes, I almost lost a job because I would pull down advances from one of my bosses. I was working on a TV and the person who was meant to assign me the speak duties made it really difficult for me until, you know, I had to say enough is enough. But well, women face that all the time, and that is what the media should learn how to, you know, fight. You should employ a woman not because they are a woman, not because they are a pretty face, but because of their competence, because of their skills, just like you do for men.
Not direct targeting to myself as Danze, but maybe from other content creators, from other media fraternities, journalists, or whatever. Yeah, kind of like that passive aggressive manner. Yes, that has existed before. It has happened. And I figure most times it's out of misinformation that these targets may come towards me as a person, or me towards as a media house that I represent. So it hasn't been really aggressive towards me, but the colleagues may kind of passively do it.
At last, I was just worried about the fact that I've been giving you very, very long answers to what should be, I'm giving you very, very long answers to what should be simple questions. At least this one is going to be very simple. Have I ever been targeted by colleagues in a professional work group? No, not really. I think I've already explained my social media habits, which means that I don't actually do much work groups, and I don't actually say anything which would trigger them into targeting me. And so, no, I haven't had the misfortune others have personally on my own.
I don't remember being a target by colleagues in a professional work group. Perhaps because in many work groups, I hold a bit of senior positions, but even where I'm junior, the other people seem too senior and responsible to have such attacks, especially in the groups themselves. So I've not been there, though I've seen people targeting each other. Usually in the groups where I am senior, I pass on caution, to show responsibility and remind people of the roles. But also the company I work for has clear-cut guidelines on work groups. and what they're supposed to be used for and what cannot go there. And the penalties are clear cut, it's written, it's not verbal. So I think with that, people are more cautious about how they deal with the others because of the company policy. And by the time you get onto those groups, you've already signed and agreed that you've read the policy and understood it. So you can't claim ignorance. So people are very cautious about that.
Yes, I have been. I feel I have been targeted by COVID. Targeted, you could say, by colleagues, even when we were doing, when I believe I was doing what content or work that was about our jobs and our profession. And I think targeting is done for different reasons. I've come to learn. Sometimes it's not personal, but it happens. Sometimes it is personal. Sometimes it's done out of fear or something, sometimes out of anger. A lot of the time fear, the fear behind it. The fear losing you for that, it's a fear. They fear certain things, so they act in anger or they act in panic and anxiety, and so they target you for one thing or the other. And many of us are not far from targeting others if we have to be honest and look at ourselves. Either targeting a person as you as an individual or you as a group. So it's a topic that I think people should talk about more. Why do you target others? What do you do instead of targeting someone who you're afraid may do something to hurt you or harm you, or who may do things that put you in a funny position? How do you deal instead? How do you talk to them? And then you who is targeted, how do you also deal with the issue? Because I reacted, and the first time I didn't react well until I was spoken to by a couple of different people. Different people. At one point, came on, someone spoke and said, I can see this, they see you doing this, but this is not helping. My reaction to targeting is not helping. So I had to really look at why these people are targeting, sort of think about why they're doing this. And what should be my reaction? What should I do? And when I did that, things got easier for me. It didn't get necessarily better, but they got easier. I sort of was able to handle that stress in an easier manner. So yeah, I did get targeted. I think many people have been targeted in one way or the other. And in the corporate world, it's a very difficult thing. And I think, like I said, the more we talk about it and are open about why it happens and what should be done instead, the easier to be able to do their work well and successfully.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks once again to our participants for agreeing to be a part of this. And thank you to the women at Web Project under Cypessa for making this happen and Phoenix Reason for allowing us to use their framework. Catch you on the next episode. I remain Roland, your host.